Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 15th of August, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Well, welcome back after a long weekend, not a holiday weekend, but it sure was long. I loved it. Let me just say, the highlight of the weekend for me, Sea Grape is on the ground. It is Sea Grape time. Look here, Sea Grape is a superfood, and although the world will tell you that blueberries have the highest nutrient count of all the berries out there, trust me when I tell you, Sea Grape is exceeding a blueberry, and I wouldn't be surprised if Governor's Plum is even more nutritious than the Sea Grape. Gnep still on the trees. It's a wonderful time. See all of this heat? Gnep is here to cool you down. Now, this is important to me. I'd be in the bush. I had to learn how to read trees. I know what y'all are saying, Erin. No, you make paper from trees and then you learn how to read books. No, you gotta learn how to read trees. And that's a lot of what I do as a seller of local fruit. Gotta know when the trees are gonna produce, when it's likely to produce, when I gotta go sneak in your yard and fertilize your tree for you because you wasn't watching the weather, you know? Them kind of thing, when I get to sneak in our yard and teeth the fruit before the teeth come to teeth the fruit, you got to learn how to read these things. And so today I want to have a show about how literacy matters. And to start the show, I have a guest in studio with me, Miss Nicole Lena Woods, who is a published author and founder, CEO of Dream North Foundation. And she's also a foster care advocate. Ms. Woods was in town last week. This week she's here right now. And she had this wonderful event on Thursday. I was unable to attend, but I've asked her to come and join us today to talk about that event and some of the other activities taking place in the Bahamas over the next couple of days. And then when we sort of finish with that conversation, I want to talk about multiple forms of literacy and some of your options or opportunities to engage your children or yourself as an adult or members of your family in literacy building, you know, learning how to read, growing your reading skills, opportunities. Now, I got a text. I can read this one. Hold on. I can read these two texts. Yes, I do purchase Gnaps. I will call you later. I like how you read that. I love that. Second, Erin, why are they trying my boy R. Kelly again and they already gave him 30 years? Dear Texter, you have not been reading the room. I would never, ever, ever call R. Kelly my boy, first of all. If I was reading the room, I would never do that. Also, that's an interesting case, you know, because a lot of people will say that R. Kelly found himself addicted to younger girls, because of a severe lack of confidence, because he couldn't read, because he lacked basic literacy and numeracy skills, you know? And so I'm not responding to this to make fun of R. Kelly, because I can bring that back into the conversation, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. Let me get to this other conversation, though, because I am excited about it. As a big reader in primary school, high school, in fact, I got in trouble for reading too many books. Imagine that. And so I want to say good morning to my guest, Miss Nicole Lena Woods. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Now listen, what do you have to do for this conversation? We got to speak directly into the mic, right?
Yes.
There we go. Now please introduce yourself. This bio does not do you justice.
Hello, everyone. I'm so glad to be here in the Bahamas. I've been here, 8-9 days now? I actually am getting on a flight in a couple of hours to go back to the United States and California. So I've just been really excited and humbled to be here. Everyone's been so welcoming. So again, we're a Los Angeles-based organization, Dream North Foundation. We produce literary arts projects, events, programs for children in foster care. But it's not just foster care. We are open to at-risk and underserved communities, right? But here, I've been so excited to work with the Ministry of Social Services and the 8 children's homes, including, I believe you have 2 who are off-island, like Cat Island.
And Grand Bahama,
yes. So we shipped out gifts from the United States. So each of the, approximately 172 children. 50 of the children attended our August 11th event at Atlantis. So it was just a fun day for the kids just to make them feel celebrated. So they got chicken fingers and fries for their lunch with cake. And they got face paint or body painting, caricature drawings, the photo booth, which they loved because they got to take home the prints, you know, of whoever they took photos with.
Yeah.
What else did they get? So they got the gift bags, entertainment, live entertainment. The DJ was there. And I even had the DJ come up to me and say, one of the girls came up to me. Well, a few of the girls came up to her, but she's just a really glamorous looking woman, long hair, just beautiful. And she said, I want to look like you. I want to look just like you.
Yeah.
And just having those moments where you have to say, no, baby, you look beautiful just the way that you are. You know, so we just had a wonderful day. Predominantly women who were speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the first lady, Mrs. Amory Davis. She spoke and she even danced with me and my daughter. She was so excited and so kind. I sat next to the Minister of Social Services, Obie. Mr. Obie Wilchcombe. And then what else? Who else is there? Miss Dorcas Bowler from the library, the Library Association.
Yes.
She was there. She was able to attend. And I want to speak. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later.
Okay.
Who else was there? Oh, Berniska Buller. She is a former foster child as well within your system. She grew up, she was in about 3 or 4 homes. She ended at Ranfurly, and now she's teacher there. She's an administrator there at Ranfurly. So she's giving back to your community. And then it was just a great day. We were able to bring 50 kids out, and then we delivered with the support of the Kiwanis Club of New Providence.
Okay.
They delivered the rest of the gifts to the other homes for us.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the gist.
Now listen, I love it. I love it. Anytime we celebrate young people, an opportunity for young people who are sort of marginalized to do normal things, love it. But most of all, I love it because what a savvy way to trick these children into a reading program.
Into reading.
What a great, right? Because you just have to find an incentive. You got to find a way to make it exciting until kids, children, adults discover
how exciting it really is.
And on their own, right?
Mm-hmm.
It becomes like a personal secret. I dive into this book and I'm into a world that's all mine.
Mm-hmm.
And when kids get that experience, right, it sort of clicks for them. Mm-hmm. It clicked for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I love it. So that's awesome. That was Thursday.
That was Thursday, yes.
Now, at the event, you read your own book, right?
So I was going to read my book, but the issue was we were already having so many speakers because, you know, the first lady wanted to address them. We had Berniska was appropriate to address them. They had already been kind of sitting for about 45 minutes, and we wanted them to be able to get to their activities because they were only with us for about 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So I did not read the book to them, but I was able to visit a few other homes. I was able to visit a women's shelter. So I read my book in other places. I read it at the library with the supervisors of about 9 libraries came, so it was really nice to meet all of them, all the ladies mm-hmm. who came to spend time with me. So no, I did not read it to the children, but I had personable conversations with them. We talked about reading and the importance of reading. Do you like to read? Do you like to write? But many of them, they have their own aspirations. One of the girls like to do nails. One of the girls said, I like to do hair. One of the girls said, I want to get to the United States. You know, so they all, one girl wanted to be a model. So
look at how you need reading to do all, look at how you need literacy to do all of that.
So that's what that's all that we could continue promoting. We had our Forgotten Baby banner there. And then I had the Forgotten Baby books there. And I spoke about it and spoke about how I was an author and even how I never really imagined as a child that I would become an author. You know, I just knew that I liked to read and write. Mm-hmm. And that's all it takes is that little seed that makes you feel that you can do whatever you want to do if you keep trying. So
right. And I think this conversation is important for many reasons. I want to talk about why the book Forgotten Baby is important as well. But Bahamians, Caribbean people, more broadly, we're storytellers, right? We love making people smile or positively affecting people. And we love telling a good joke, a good story. But we're typically an oral tradition people, right? So mm-hmm. we tell stories mm-hmm. and don't necessarily write them mm-hmm. down. And so I imagine we have thousands of authors, of writers here that don't know
that they are authors
mm-hmm. or that they have the capacity, mm-hmm. the potential mm-hmm. to be world-class mm-hmm. authors. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the Literary Arts Tour. Right. So that was an opportunity to go to various institutions in the country.
Yes. Awesome. So again, we're Los Angeles based. So my focus was initially in Los Angeles as well as Las Vegas and in Nevada. So I did an event already in May with the Los Angeles Police Museum, which is a big deal. Yeah. And then, of course, we got coverage on all of that. And that's when people really started getting to.
Right. And I was just going to say it's a big deal because sometimes police are that first point of contact.
Exactly.
Imagine a police officer could give a child a book.
Exactly. You're hitting it right on the head.
You're
right on the head. That's exactly why we chose them as our first relationship, because they are the first individuals most likely that the child is seeing if they're being removed from the home outside of social services, right?
Yeah.
So we thought that relationship was really important because the reality is that individuals from underserved, low socioeconomic environments, we are often afraid or resentful of law enforcement from our own experiences, including myself. Mm-hmm. I grew up in an at-risk environment as well, and I didn't have always the best experiences with police officers, and the reality is that they are not all bad.
Yeah.
There are many of them who genuinely care about us, about children, et cetera. So we just wanted that moment where the police officers were there, they took pictures with the kids, et cetera. So our first event was in May of this year with the Los Angeles Police Museum. And then we had a couple of more events in California as well. So we went to a boys' home, all boys. These are more at risk, more troubled, harder situations, gangs, mm-hmm. selling drugs, things of that nature. So just a little bit harder. So they were not younger kids. So you had to go in with the more, what's going on with you? Why are you? What do you need? Like, you know you're special, right? It's a completely different conversation when they're older boys.
Yeah.
And then I also, so now we're here in the Bahamas. So we did 200 children here.
Wow.
And then, of course, I was able to visit a couple of the women's shelters. So that is, again, we will talk about this a little bit later on, but we are fortunate to be able to partner with the Bahamas Bridal Association to produce a dream wedding contest for an abused woman, which will happen next summer at Atlantis as well. So Atlantis is on board. It's been really, really, everyone's been really supportive about uplifting our women and children here in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And then, as soon as I get back to the States, I have another event in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon, for 300 to 500 children.
Wow.
And then I will end the year with Las Vegas for 400 attendees. So when you say a literary arts tour, it really is a tour. When we did the May event, we just started getting a pouring in of
requests.
When's the next one?
Yeah.
Are you going to come here? Do you do this area? And I only so happen. My goal is to partner with a different country every year, but it's seeming like Bahamas is going to be like.
Yeah, but no, you could be Bahamas and add another one next
exactly.
year.
That is definitely what it seemed like. This is definitely going to be my home partnership, home country partnership.
And possibly, like, strategically, the Bahamas could be a great place to launch from going further south in the region.
Yes. So I just wanted to touch on why I'm here. So I, again, Los Angeles. I grew up strong in the church. So I had a mentor there, Samuel Allen. He was the youth mentor. He was 21 years old. I was 14 years old. And we've just continued to maintain our relationship. So when I published my book, Forgotten Baby, mind you, Forgotten Baby is an illustrated children's book. Mm-hmm. It's for ages 8 and up. And it's about a young girl who grows up in the foster care system.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you send some books to the Bahamas, I'll help you. So pretty much he's just been encouraging me, connecting me, etc. The plan was only for me to send books here. Yeah. That was the plan.
It can't work like that.
No, it can't.
And we're glad it didn't work like that. Because for foster children in the care system, mm-hmm. adoption, mm-hmm. State care mm-hmm. homes, they have different barriers mm-hmm. and access to education, but they're not having the same experiences, right? So a child in a home with one parent, maybe extended family, they have people in the home who are available to help them with homework, who are available to read to them at night. These are some of the things that help kids become more comfortable with literacy and that literacy journey, mm-hmm. right? That, mm-hmm. you know, that's a barrier. But there are other things as well, right? There, for kids living in shelters, how do I keep books mm-hmm. if I'm unhoused, mm-hmm. if I'm homeless, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. How do I secure them? Mm-hmm. And I know people feel tremendous guilt that they have books, but they can't keep them safe. They can't mm-hmm. keep them properly maintained, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so they want them, but they know it's better that I don't keep mm-hmm. them. And for children, that's rough as well, mm-hmm. To tear them apart, mm-hmm. you know, from their favorite book. The after-school support systems are not necessarily there or in the same way. Right. And so it's so important to reinforce or to give an extra boost to children that are in extraordinary living mm-hmm. situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I want to touch on what you're saying, that not having the means to keep their belongings and cherish their belongings, right? More right. often than not, these children are walking around with plastic bags, you know, they, mm-hmm. and mind you, I went to several of the homes and it seems like they have their belongings and the homes have given them suitcases or other yeah. means to make sure that they have their own space and their own cubby and that their things are protected. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case. So yeah. we have partnered with Comfort Cases. They are stationed in the United States, and then they have a headquarters as well in the United Kingdom in mm-hmm. London. And the founder is an aged out foster youth, and he adopted about 4 to 5 children as well. And Comfort Cases are basically their backpacks. So this is what we gave one of these to every child.
Yeah.
Their backpacks, and it has a blanket, pajamas, a book, a stuffed animal, toiletries, you know, toothbrush, things of that nature.
Yeah.
It has kind of the essentials that you think a child would need to feel comforted when they are entering into the foster or children's yeah. homes, right? And even in that case, I'm going to go to a children's home after I finish with you,
yeah.
and I'm taking them books. I'm taking them more books, and I'm taking them some snacks, and just to encourage them to read, to be creative, to write.
Right,
to
right. And you just said it there. That's the next thing. You grew up in a little bougie home like me, mm-hmm. right? Very privileged. Snacks, reading, and snacking is go together. But for many kids who may witness that, right? And here's the next thing. These kids have access to television and media. They're witnessing how other kids live, and it can create a disconnect, you know, or it could create a discomfort realizing that I don't live like that, and I'm never going to have that experience.
Yes.
And so I won't steal the snacks, but I can't promise you I'm not going to thief some books, Miss Woods. I may thief some books, okay? I need you to know. I'm a book lover. To that, you know, and to that point. And I think that's what we want to encourage kids to the extreme, right? Like, I want to see a news story where they have to lock up, like, 12 kids because they just thief books from bookstores and give them out to other little children.
Right.
Right? Like, that's the type of story.
Right. That would be exciting to see that.
I love that. Okay, so now You also run a literary efficacy program, right?
Yes.
Is that just for young people or for adults?
At this moment, it is for young people. But again, the focus was always to support as well women who are exposed to abuse and sex trafficking. But we found that this children's literary arts program was becoming so grand. I'm just trying to focus on solely on this for now. And then, of course, we're going to do the Dream Wedding Contest, which is going to now start opening up our conversation to domestic violence, abuse, et cetera, for women. You know, so it's coming. It's already here. But yes, right now the focus is the children, because the reality is that it begins with the child. Even the adults who, like, let's say that they are not there. They're illiterate, right? Mm-hmm. We have many adults who are illiterate, improper grammar, unable to spell, unable to read, unable to write. And that's a global pandemic, right?
Yes.
But that starts from the childhood. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to, I think, stem on initially. But yes, the overall goal is for us to get to where we have programs for adults as well.
Yeah. And I imagine this is, in a way, a program for adults, right? Because adults are going to be there to support
Yes,
the young
and they are. And they're highly, highly supportive. At August 11th event, I had 20 of my family and friends, adults, come from the United States. And then we had about 30 Bahamian constituents there. So the adults were there. It's 50 adults who were there. And it's important because the children want our attention. They want their relationship with us. They have to be encouraged by us. So the adults being a part of this project for the children is just as important as the child being there.
Right. And listen, parents, I don't have any children, but I'm on your side. At the end of the day, it's rough.
Yes.
You want to just take off everything, sit in the tub, and then order one little children to rub your feet. I get it. And sometimes a book seems like, this is great, let the child go, turn inward, escape into their own world. But sometimes it's what's needed is for both of you to escape together into that world, right? And then to trust that both of you, that you as the adult will relax as well, because you will realize you enjoying this time with this
with
young
your child.
Person, you know, and the child. Okay, so I want to make sure I want to contact you. I will make sure next year I know when you come in,
yes,
how my organization can participate, whether we're donating books, whether we're going to host a reading session. Tell us, how can I contact you and how can I participate in the Literary Arts Tour?
Yes, you can find us at Dream, D-R-E-A-M, North, N-O-R-T-H, foundation.org. That is our website. And the same on Instagram, Dream North Foundation. And you can reach out to us anytime. Again, we are only 9 months old and we've already made it to the Bahamas. We are really fortunate. We're moving very quickly. So the goal right now is to secure as much support as we can so we can keep impacting these children. So far, I've already reached, I think, about 400. And by the end of the year, I would reach about 1,000 to 1,200. That's just the beginning.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I want to say, in doing my research for today's show, I found a number of local organizations that focus on literacy, like the Brighter Bahamas Foundation, Project Read, and the Lyford Key Foundation has just completed a program called Leap Learning Enrichment to Accelerate Progress, right? And I thought, wow, this is fantastic. These guys have been in existence for a little longer than your organization, but are you willing to partner with
them? I reached out to the National Library and Information Services. I had the pleasure of meeting with their administrator, Dorcas Bowler, and then, of course, some of the supervisors from 9 of their 50 libraries was able to attend. We had the Ministry of Education Communications come out to cover the story, so I'm looking forward to that coming out. The plan was simply for me to place my book in their libraries. You know that's not how I operate. I can't simply just put my book in their library. Yeah. So as I got there, sitting, being able to talk to all the ladies about me personally and about what my goals are, and then about theirs as well. What are your goals in the community? And they brought up the National Reading Challenge competition that they just started a year ago that's finally being acknowledged by the Prime Minister as a, I don't know what the right verbiage is, but it's
what
a...
What it is it's finally been commemorated as a national event, right?
Yes.
It was in the papers for the last couple of months.
So basically what I said to them is I'm going to try to help secure the prizes so that they can have more prizes. They were doing like tablets and a few other things, but I'm going to do my best to secure some prizes so they can continue on with this program. My goal is to mention them each time I go out and just keep promoting this contest. So that's just one thing that this wasn't the plan, right? So yes, I am definitely open to establishing these relationships with organizations. And
look here, it's fantastic. Now we have a number of, a lot of young people who's, there's a proper technical term for it, but they've experienced a significant amount of education loss or lack of retention. Through the tumultuousness of the pandemic. But recently, in fact, this weekend, the government has launched a free Wi-Fi project. And so the first of the constituency parks that will receive one park per constituency have launched their free Wi-Fi program, right? So I'm looking at the potential of you have Wi-Fi in the park, and you're going to have night lights. So children who have limited access or no access to electricity at home can come out on the park and have access to reading light, right? But also, maybe we can build a partnership since the state is attempting to ensure that as many students as possible have tablets in hand for the virtual learning platform because you have to move back and forth. I'm going to encourage local and international donors and supporters of your program and literacy generally to think about subscriptions to reading platforms for young people that they can access through their tablets, and thus multiple children in one household can access the same subscription, right? But age-appropriate material. So whether it's people sending hard copy books that we can move from household to household, and we can read when there's no power after a storm, and supplement that with digital access to reading platforms.
Yes, and I know that was with the children's homes, there were several who requested these tablets. I know there's some of the homes where I visited, their laptops and their desktops were not even working. And like you said, Wi-Fi as well. So all of these things, they're all a part of literature. They're all a part of education and reading.
And ensuring access.
Yes. So these are all things that I hope to make it all come together, because now I've done the visit. I've gotten to shake everyone's hand and let them know this is who I am. This is what I how I want to help, but I have to go get the help.
Yeah.
So that is what my focus is now, is getting all of their requests, seeing all what the need is, and the work begins.
Listen, but just showing so much support, you've reduced the need tremendously because you've shown people their capacity to improve their own lives, right?
Yes.
And this is fantastic.
Yes.
People, literacy matters. And don't think I sit here talking about, oh, you have to go to QC, because I mean, I went to QC, mind you, but you have to go to QC and you have to get tertiary education. What we know is that with examination or assessment, it appears as if our ancestors, our grandparents, our parents, our older relatives had a lesser access to formal education, but had greater literacy and numeracy skills, right? And so as we have greater access to information and education, it appears as if the literacy and numeracy is decreased, you know? And so it's important to have these conversations. I know we are just out of time. Could you tell us again your contact information? Because I know you got to go.
Yes, I'm going to another children's home now.
And I cannot stop you. So tell us how to get in contact with you again and potentially when you come in back.
Yes, so dreamnorthfoundation.org or on Instagram, Dream North Foundation. Of course, we're on Facebook and Twitter as well, but those are the platforms that I respond to the quickest. My email, info@dreamnorthfoundation.org. And I've been told that I should be back in November, so I'm supposed to be speaking to the Ministry of Social Services about to see what that looks like. But I've been told about November. And then the Bahamas Bridal Association, we're talking about February 14th.
November, National Women's Week sits in November.
I think that's what we're all thinking about.
That would be wonderful. So whether you get here or not, we're going to link by Zoom and talk about more opportunities to support the positive development and growth for women and women and girls and children.
Yes.
And that means boys too.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Ms. Nicole Lena Woods.
Thank you so much.
Oh, and last thing, where can we purchase the book Forgotten Baby?
Yes, Forgotten Baby is available on Amazon, but if you go to Forgotten, Forgotten, baby, B-A-B-Y dot shop, S-H-O-P, you'll see all of the platforms there that it is available. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, and then, of course, directly through the website.
All right. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank
you. To the audience, we go into a break, and when we come back from the break, I want you to, I'm going to read some of these texts. Let's talk about literacy. Literacy matters. Do you know how to read traffic? Do you know how to read fruit trees? Do you know how to read the lines in the food store? All of these things matter. Stay tuned, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green.
To think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers, residents, and the general public that the corporation will commence improvement work on Boyd Road between Nassau Street and Columbus Avenue, beginning on July 4, 2022, for a duration of 8 weeks. During this period, there may be some interruption in water supply, road closures, and detours around the work area. Motorists are asked to avoid the area between the hours of 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience which may be caused and appreciate your patience as they work to improve their level of service.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're not always able to see the storms in life approaching, but we can take the necessary steps to be prepared to ensure the safety of ourselves, our loved ones, and our property. This hurricane season, trust J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers. We'll be here to help you get back on track in your time of need. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bala Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers, residents, and the general public that the corporation will commence improvement work on Boyd Road between Nassau Street and Columbus Avenue, beginning on July 4, 2022, for a duration of 8 weeks. During this period, there may be some interruption in water supply, road closures, and detours around the work area. Motorists are asked to avoid the area between the hours of 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience which may be caused and appreciate your patience as they work to improve their level of service.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and I have to tell you, I really enjoyed that conversation. It's a shame Ms. Woods had to leave, but she's got important things to do. Literacy matters, and there are multiple forms of literacy. There's legal literacy. I heard a conversation on Morning Blend this morning about the gender equality referendum 2016. On the front page of today's Guardian, citizenship law, quote unquote, the wrong route. Fernandez suggests government will try to ram bill through. With a little legal literacy, you may have been aware that they already tried to ram the bills through. The first attempt in 2002, the second attempt 2013 to 2016, 2016 gender equality referendum. And perhaps the biggest issue with the referendum and with the referendum that quickly turned into an opinion poll is our lack of legal literacy diminishes our capacity to engage these national exercises with the confidence to challenge the position of the state or the position of any actors in the discussion. Then there's political literacy and financial literacy. Political literacy is sort of like being able to read the room, you know? Let me get to these texts quickly. Yes, I got you, Ms. Gnapp. Second text, morning. Governor's plum don't taste good to me. Our American cherries easy to grow here, and I had the sweetest Gnapp in town, guaranteed. I just glad I got your number. Governor's plums don't taste good to you. That means you probably need it, right? Like, you know how cilantro tastes like soap to some people? It suggests to me that they actually need it more than the rest of us. Another text, Erin, why? Oh, yeah. Tell Ministry of Works, fix the roads out west. And then another text, our young men are at risk over here. Can you ask your guest if she is helping at-risk boys with the same degree of concern as she is targeting young girls? In fact, no, she wasn't targeting young girls. The program initially targeted women in shelters and or abusive situations. And then it transitioned to children, generally boys and girls, in public or state care facilities. Another text, Aaron, I like how you threw in that, and that means boys too, like it was an afterthought. No, it's not like it's an afterthought. See, I've been in this industry or this space for so long that I know when they say women and children, they mean boys. I know that. But many people, if you don't add the boys in, they think that you intentionally left the boys out. But boys are children too, right? Yeah, boys are children too. Men, which boys are and grow up to be, are disposable, I guess. The same texter. Anyway, I like the aim of improving literacy, so good work to the lady. Ah, texter, you're so jaded, man. You're so jaded. First of all, who's supposed to be focusing on the issues of boys is not a gender battle. All of us. All of us supposed to be focusing on it. All of us. That includes men too, right? I didn't say men, but it includes men too. The person who's trying to text Dennis, the test failed and he will not text you back. So let's get back. I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron, and good morning to your guest, eh?
My guest has left the studio, unfortunately. Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Fascinating, Aaron. To enjoy what you're saying. Reading is very important. The whole book, my best attempt is reading take you through the world. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first self-taught the computer, my sister brought me this book in the old time computers. You saw the old time computers back then, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she got me this book called Dummies for Windows.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if anybody remember that.
Windows for Dummies.
Yeah, Windows for Dummies, mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought you were trying to call me a dummy.
No, no.
So, yeah. But but it is a unique way of learning the computer.
Mm-hmm.
All the cartoons and reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I truly learned it that way.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's how I self-taught the computer. That's a simple book.
Yeah.
So, the book do take you around the world. It do expand your knowledge and everything. So I encourage.
And even
I'm wondering.
Mm-hmm, go on. No, go on.
I'm wondering though, is the easy way smartphone when it's taking all the easy way of the new technology now? It's taking the way to read it or enhancing the reading? What you think?
Say that again?
Yeah, smartphones and...
Well, it's the culture. It's not the device itself. The device itself actually gives you greater access to reading material, right?
Right.
It gives you greater access to reading material. It's the culture within which you use in the smartphone, right? If people are only using the smartphones to shoot videos of other people doing foolishness, you may be less likely to access a free reading site. Right.
Among the young people.
So. Right. And in the same way, some of those games could be numeracy building skills, math building skills.
Right.
I play Sudoku on my phone all the time.
Right.
They could be literacy building skills and logic building skills. At the same time, they could just be mindless games we play to escape, you know?
Yeah, I call it a puzzle game. I love the puzzle game.
Yeah.
It helps the mind to expand. So these are the ways. Technology is being used.
Yeah, it is about how the technology is being used. And that's why I'm excited about the free Wi-Fi launch in the parks.
Oh, yeah. It's coded, so they won't get into those other problems.
Right, like are there going to be some locks on it, some barriers on it, so you can only access certain sites? I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so, too. But I'm happy that... And all the audience... simultaneously New Providence Wi-Fi friendly now.
Well, I think there's a stage. They launch a certain number.
But eventually, yeah, they're all going to be in that category.
I hope so.
It's, they said it.
Well, listen, I'm excited, but I'm not celebrating it, right? Because this could have easily have been a part of the Ministry of Education's education retention, student retention policy or program. We should have enabled Wi-Fi in the parks long time. We should have added benches and, you know, structures that couldn't be moved so that young people could have a working station if they needed it.
That's a telemarketing.
Tell me how.
Not telemarketing, what they call it. Tele outright.
Yeah, just like telehealth.
Yeah, that could have been in place a long time.
Yeah.
I just watched something on UWI where on the doctor can see me on my laptop and monitor me.
Yeah, telehealth.
Telemedicine.
And we should have been exploring this a long time for Family Island residents. Long time.
But they tried to get into it, but it takes so long to get into the full technology of it. But it was a former prime minister plan for Dr. Minister to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, his minister of health was slow.
Well, I say that. Also, what I'm hoping, listen, I got to get to some more text, but is that the corporate partners step up, see their capacity to be a major part of the solution.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we need. Not that we begging them to fulfill their contractual obligations from the inception of their companies. Right. We're not begging them to do that. But this would be a great way, you know, step up and be greater corporate partners in the community.
And next time you could talk about the solar.
Yeah.
I like that, too.
You all want to talk about Seoul and Ragged Island. Only thing I want to talk about Ragged Island is them thousands and thousands of tamarind trees in Ragged Island. I could have created...
I can't find tamarind. We need to plant them in Nassau. I can't find them in Nassau.
And then, you know, it's even better. The season is different than Nassau season. So we could be having tamarind when Nassau is tamarind out of season.
I put my niece on blast. Now I want my yellow plum thorn.
That's another thing. Yeah, listen, I got to go.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Hopefully I'm talking agriculture in the second half of tomorrow's show. Man, send their text to thank you for that text. It says, Aaron, why are they making free Wi-Fi in the parks and not building libraries or providing access to more libraries? Where are the desks and chairs to be comfortable in the parks? Also, children will be open to natural elements and in danger on parks as opposed to libraries. I say build more libraries, not parks and prisons. Okay, listen, I am with you 1,000%. Don't build more prisons. Just improve the prison that you have now because it's in a deplorable state. Secondly, those are some interesting things that you bring up, the safety of the children. We also need park wardens. And we should be vetting people from within these communities, to be park wardens. In Japan, the school routes are indicated with stickers and specific colors and numbers, right? And children walk themselves to school. And people in the community designate themselves as supervisors. And so... That, you know, that's a part of it, but you're absolutely right. The safety element must be in place. Another text here that says, give each child in primary school a device with one game on it only. Old Game Boy Pokemon games. Had to read everything all the time. Taught me and my cousin to read better than any of our teachers could. So this text is saying that the oldest style video games that they used to play, that we used to play, everything is in text. And so you had to read all the time to figure out the game. This is a good idea. Thank you, texter. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Aaron, good afternoon. The good light is about this two times. We're picking up.
The line is bad. Try call again. If and or send a text and tell me what's happening. Another text, Aaron, they need to make sure that no type of pornography can be downloaded or viewed in those free Wi-Fi sites. I am with you. And it's not free Wi-Fi sites, right? But I get what you're saying. The capacity to block sites or to only provide access to certain sites on the park. I got you. Producer, if we could get to that next call when you're ready. All right. No, I didn't forget that text. I was just following the one that was most relevant at the moment. So another text here. I find this extremely, extremely disturbing that they're going to go around the choice of the people via referendum in a topic because we make the wrong choice. According to him, this truly isn't a real place and definitely not a real democracy. I got to do a whole show on this texter. I got to do a whole show on this. It's not that people made the wrong. I don't think that's not what it is, right? But I can tell you what it is. People voted without nary a good sense of what it is they were actually doing. Without a fundamental sense of what the law was saying. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. The 4259 line. Yeah. That's bad.
Okay, I got you.
I need the government to whoever in charge of public parks put a big sign up: no gambling, no drugs, no guns allowed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Back then, boys like the boy you get killed on Camp Road, boys used to go in the back of the bush to gamble or abandoned building. But now they're scared. Because the police used to rush the game and take the money or lock them up.
But listen, it's a lack of
young boys like they are fearless.
It's a lack of literacy. Yep. They ain't reading the room. And even if they weren't afraid of the police, what you doing gambling in the public and showing people you have money that you're not afraid to lose? Show me you have money you ain't afraid to lose, please. Anyway, we don't know that, but let's speak easy on that, but I appreciate what it is that you're saying.
If they wasn't there, if the dice game wasn't on the basketball court, it would have been safe. I want parks and rec to put big signs up.
Well, yeah, listen, I got another caller. I got to go.
And you'll be searched on the park. It's a sign up. Saying no guns, drugs, or dice game allowed.
I got you.
And marijuana.
I got you. Yeah. I got you. Thank you for that call. Yeah. Park's supposed to be cheering zones, man. They supposed to be cheering zones. And the way that people are living, we all are looking for some space. But if you're an adult, you got to do the work of ensuring the children have space. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds. You're on the clock.
Hey, Sister Aaron, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. And it's the first time I called really to you on this show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
But let me tell you something here.
Uh-huh.
What the government is doing now with these parks in regard to, like, free Wi-Fi?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I totally agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't care who says what and all the excuses you use. This is what you called, hey, it's a new day. It's a good thing.
Yes.
Okay, some little issues happening. Some people, even in some areas that you probably think, well, okay, hey, them people okay? No. All right?
Yeah.
And it brings dignity to those type of people.
Yes, ma'am. Listen, thank you.
They're not poor. They may be marginalized, but listen, it's a good thing. And whoever against it, guess what?
Yeah.
They're just against the progress in this nation.
Listen, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I got a text. It's wrong to assume after all that educational campaigning that people voted out of ignorance. I'm telling you the people voted out of ignorance. I'm telling you the people who constructed the constitutional exercise constructed it in ignorance of the law. I'm not saying Bahamians are stupid.
If you'd like to make a call.
Oh, and I wasn't talking to you, caller. I'm not saying Bahamians are stupid. I'm saying the whole exercise was constructed in a state of ignorance of the law because the law and the dynamics around it were so new and changing all the time. And then in some instances, not. Anyway, It's a lovely thing to talk about. I just want you to know that I wasn't dissing the people or calling them stupid. Now the text, oh my goodness. I'm going to save these texts. I got to get back to them. That's the music playing. We got to go. You've been on the clock with Erin Green, with my guest, Nicole Lena Woods from Dream North Foundation. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.